addict. And this is a bit daunting, to say the least. This is my home meeting, and I come here every week. I've been coming for the last year, but this is the first time that I share here. So my first sponsor is sitting over there. My current sponsor is also sitting over there. And no pressure. So I can feel my heart beating really hard. So I'm just going to try and calm down so that I can pass some sort of message to someone here, hopefully. Right. So I was 7 years clean in March, and I don't know how it happened. It felt really surreal, actually, because I could not believe that I was still clean. So instead of celebrating, it just felt strange, but good. When I was using, I could not stay clean for 7 days, let alone 7 months or 7 years. So to me, this is a total miracle. And I know today that this miracle is not down to me at all. It's down to this fellowship and to my higher power. Left on my own devices, I would not be sitting here because I would be listening to my head, which is usually wrong. So that's why I come to meetings, to hear some sort of sense. Right, just to give you a bit of a background, I am from Spain, obviously. Didn't get this funny accent in Vauxhall, so... And, I lived with my mom and my three siblings in Spain when I was a kid, and then my mom died when she was only 38 from cancer. And that's when my life just changed for the worse. I was taken to live with some relatives, my mom's sister and her alcoholic husband. And basically, my life just turned to hell. I was abused there for a few years in all sorts of ways. And it was awful. And I lost contact with my siblings. I was separated from them, basically. And I just felt totally alone and abandoned. And of course, I couldn't see at the time that my siblings were very young as well. I was 13, and they were teenagers as well. They were older than me, so for me, they were old. And they should have taken care of me, basically. I can see now in hindsight that it wasn't like that, that they were just kids like I was. But at the time, you know, I resented them big time. So I was left in this hell. Also, I grew up in a city, and my relatives lived in a very, very small town with about 60,000 people. And it was horrible. People were very mean and very close-minded, and I rebelled, you know. I was different anyway, and so... Obviously, I didn't fit in, and I didn't want to fit in the first place, but I struggled. People were very, you know, everyone sort of worried about other people's business too much, and everyone just... Anyone who was different, basically, was looked at badly. And I lived in this place with these horrible people for a few years, and I just couldn't wait to grow up. And at the same time, I discovered alcohol, and it kind of helped in a way because it gave me this escape that I needed. So having said that, I have to say I know I'm an addict because for as long as I can remember, I always had some sort of addiction going on. So, I mean, by the time I discovered alcohol, I've had maybe another 10 addictions before that. And, you know, it all started with stealing money for sweets when I was a kid, maybe 6, 7. I didn't need to, because my mom used to give me money for sweets, but I still, you know, I wanted more. And that's the story of my life, you know. That's how I know I'm an addict, because I always want more. So So then stealing money in itself became another addiction, which kind of grew over the years. Then it was... I tried my first cigarette when I was six. I didn't really inhale the smoke, but, you know, I managed to nick cigarette from my sister. I made all my little friends at the time do the same. And then we all got together in the evening and tried to smoke these things. And it was me always kind of making, you know, the people do these things. So, about when I was nine, I got hooked to smoking and video games. It was the 80s then, a long time ago. I don't know if some of you might remember Space Invaders, you know, and that sort of thing. So, and then, of course, I had to steal more money to play these video games because they were not free. So it just went on and on and on like that. And it was boys, and it was, you know, lying. I was addicted to lying as well. So by the time I was 13 or 14 and my mom had passed away and I discovered alcohol, it was just another thing for me. It was just one more thing to help me escape my reality. I still to this day don't know why I wanted to escape reality from the beginning, because at the beginning my reality was okay. So I guess that's part of being an addict, and I'll probably never know. And it's really not relevant anymore. The thing is, I was propelled to do these things for some reason. So I discovered alcohol, and at the beginning it was just a social thing on the weekends. I know today that I didn't get addicted to alcohol and illegal drugs before because they were not available to me. So when I lived with my uncle and my auntie, they were very strict people and I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things. I lived a bit like in a prison. And I had to ask permission for everything, even when I was 18 or 19. So I didn't really have the freedom to get addicted to stuff earlier. So I guess that was one positive thing out of all this madness that was going on at home. But when I did have a bit more freedom as I got older, that was that. As soon as I had access to drink or drugs, other drugs, I was off. Eventually I left home and I just couldn't manage. I had no life skills. I had no money. I had nothing. And all I wanted to drink was party. All I wanted to do was partying. So I just went out every night. I drank a lot. And that's what I did for a few years. And when I was about 23, I had a thought that if I didn't stop doing that, I might become an alcoholic. Little did I knew that I was already one. So I have to say that I never really liked smoking stuff because I like uppers. And smoking made me sleepy, so I didn't like it. So eventually I discovered coke when I was 20. So I was really a late starter in a way with sort of illegal drugs. Having said that, I kind of made up for it in the following years, big time. I had an experience at the time with coke where it was made available to me almost freely. And within 3 months, I was in a really, really bad state. I was not sleeping for days on end, and I wasn't looking after myself. I couldn't eat. I lost a lot of weight. I was in a state. I was in a violent relationship at the time as well, which just got worse because of my using as well. I did things that I wouldn't do now. So I got very scared with this drug, and I swore I would never take it again. And I kind of stopped on my own, which was not nice at all. And I kept on drinking. So eventually, when I was 25, I had an opportunity to come here. And because I was very depressed at the time, I hated my life, I hated where I was living, I hated everything, basically, I thought I would come. I was only coming to London for about for a few days, and then I was meant to go to Bournemouth for 3 months. But, of course, you know, as a good addict, things never happen as you plan. And within a few days, within 3 days, I ended up homeless in London with no money. And, you see, and didn't speak any English, and I knew no one, and I had nothing, basically. How I got through that, I don't know. I'm going to try to speed up, because I'm not used to 15-minute show, by the way, so standard for a Spanish person, you know, it's kind of weird. We like to talk. And so anyway, I got through that, and I just ended up having the same life that I was having in Spain eventually, you know. I came here thinking I was going to discover the world, and I brought my addiction with me. And within a few months, 6 months, a year, I was exactly in the same place. But this time I discovered other drugs as well and the clubbing scene, and I did that for years. And that's what I did. I worked, I partied, and eventually work was too much, so I became a drug dealer, self-employed, blah, blah. I worked for myself, so I was really proud of that. And I did that for years as well, maybe 7, 8. And when I first came to NA, I thought that I was too young and that I could not relate with people because I've never been to prison or mental institutions and stuff like that. But actually, I qualified for all those things. And I have no doubt in my mind that all of those things would have happened to me if I didn't stop when I did. Eventually, I met someone who was in recovery. We got involved, and that's how I was stepped. And I was 32 at the time. And I came to meet, well, I was brought to meetings, and I didn't really relate to people a lot because I heard people talking about heroin use and blood in the ceiling and things like that. And I've never injected heroin. I never took crack. I did everything else, of course, but not those two, and I didn't really relate too much. I managed to stay clean for a couple of months, white knuckling, didn't follow any suggestions, didn't do anything, and then I used again. And about 3 months later, I was on my knees, and I came back. Like I said, that was 7 years ago. It's hard to explain everything that's happened since, but I'll just mention a couple of very important things for me. Like I said, I lost touch, contact with my siblings, and when I was a year and a half clean, I got in touch with them again after about 20 years, and I went to Spain to see them, and that was amazing. And I had a massive craving on the plane on the way there where I wanted to drink alcohol, but I had my recovery books with me, and I had my higher power with me, and I prayed to stay clean for that day and just together. Okay, and I did, and I go through it. Eventually, you know, I have to say I found early recovery excruciating. I hated it. It was really hard. I didn't find, you know, I never had a pink cloud, and it was all really hard. I felt mad. I felt totally crazy. I went and got outside help because I didn't know what else to do. I was following all the suggestions, and I was still feeling mad. And I was scared. I didn't want to relapse anymore. I didn't want to use, so I got outside help, and it was good. It kind of helped at the time. But I think it was really when I started taking risks and doing things that I was really scared to do that my recovery started then, and that I started getting some sort of a bit more confident with it, and I started to believe that I could stay clean and do these things. So, yeah, my siblings, yeah. I ended up going to college, university. I did pretty well. They gave me a first and everything. And I graduated, and, you know, I just sat there, and I got emotional in my graduation because I thought, you know, no bad for a drug dealer. And that was amazing. My brother was there. My cousin that I hadn't seen for 12 years was also there, and a few friends. And it was amazing. The whole thing is just, you know. And I've got a good relationship, superficial but good relationship, with my siblings today because there's a lot of addiction in my family and I'm the only person in recovery. But, you know, at least I tried to help my brother. He came from Spain and lived with me for a while. He's also an addict. And I took him to meetings and everything, but he wasn't ready and went back home. And now he's there, still using. But you know, the fact that I hadn't seen my brother for 20 years and I had the opportunity to try and help him, that in itself was amazing. What else? The other thing, last year I separated from my partner after 7 years, and that was one of the hardest things I had to do in recovery. It wasn't easy at all. And what I did, I just went to a lot of meetings because I knew I had to look after myself. It's difficult to summarize everything that's happened, but just for anyone new or anyone struggling, I can only say that I never imagined that I could have the life I've got today. I can never imagine that I will still be clean today. And it's only thanks to coming here, thanks to the people in these meetings, you know, having a sponsor, and just following the few suggestions that you find in NA. There's nothing more than that for me, anyway. When I'm having a hard time, I do more meetings because I know on my own I'm not good for for myself, basically, let alone for other people. I have a life, you know, beyond my wildest dreams today. I'm just planning another scuba diving trip for maybe next month with my best two friends we used to use together, and they're also clean now. Now we go on scuba diving trips together, you see? That's another amazing thing that happened in recovery because I got clean. So, you know, stick around. It's not easy at first, but it does get easier. That's my experience anyway. Today I feel happy most of the time. I feel okay with myself most of the time. Some days I don't, but then I know it's natural. You know, you can't be high 24/7. I do have a good life. I want to stick around and be present for the rest of my life. If I was to use tomorrow, I will miss the rest of my life. And I don't want to do that anymore. So hang in there and keep coming back. Thank you.